What is meditation and how can it help you? Carmen Warrington is someone who knows all about this. In fact, she's put out quite a few CDs. We heard one earlier I played, which is involved a technique, I suppose, of relaxing yourself, being totally relaxed, and then bringing yourself back. She's in our studios this evening or this morning, and certainly would like to hear from you in a little while if you've got questions about meditation or what it can actually do for you. Carmen Warrington, a very good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Rod, and to everyone listening. Hello.
What a calm and relaxing voice you have, Carmen.
Oh, thank you.
How important is that, especially when you're putting your CDs together, about getting people in the right mood?
I would say it's quite a vital part of it, actually. I have many people who contact me and say that it's the voice that helps them slip into that meditative state. And I can't really explain it, but I'm very grateful that I have that sort of a voice and I can help people.
A lot of people tell me that my voice sends them to sleep, but I think that's totally different. Tell me, I mean, what's the difference, Carmen? Quite seriously, when you're meditating, you don't want to go to sleep. How do you maintain that state where you are totally, perhaps, relaxed and in that meditative state and yet not slip beyond that?
That's a very good question, and I have to tell you, when I first started meditating for about 5 years... of the first 5 years of my practice, I would slip into sleep because it's quite a similar state in many ways. Once you start relaxing, and particularly if you're not sleeping properly anyway, then the body craves to catch up on sleep. Mm. And so I would say to people, you know, just if that's what your body is craving, then let yourself fall asleep. But have the intention next time to try and stay alert. And to do that, there are all sorts of techniques. I mean, the one that I'm offering most is through what we would call guided visualizations or meditation commentaries, or they have all different names. But because really meditation is about concentrating in stillness. And so some people concentrate on a word, which we would call a mantra, or they might just concentrate on observing the flow of breath in and out of their body. But another way to concentrate would be to allow yourself to go on some sort of journey by concentrating on the thoughts that are suggested in a commentary.
Or and as so you also say in one of your CDs, find a safe place or almost a hiding place, as you describe it, and go there in your mind.
Yes, yes. Mm. And, you know, if you're there and you fall asleep, so be it. But one of the things about meditation that I would regard as vital is to not judge what happens and to not expect anything to happen, just to become more aware of who you are on the inside.
Okay, so the object is the journey, not the destination?
Absolutely. There's That's a nothing very nice way of putting it.
Yeah, there's nothing you achieve. Perhaps if you're only meditating for, say, 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so, it's that 5 minutes, the 10 minutes that count, not what happens at the end of it.
That's right, yeah. And a lot can change in 5 minutes, you know. That's why we put out that Take Five meditation, which you played one of the tracks from earlier.
Indeed.
Because, you know, some I know of a group who put out a program to say, stop for just a minute. And some people say, well, how can a minute make a difference? But if you really stop and stop the processes of your daily life and just sit for a minute, you can regain so much of your equilibrium in just a minute.
You never know how long a minute is until you go off air, in fact, for a minute. Carmen, tell me, what exactly is meditation? And not necessarily the way you would describe it, but for someone who has not tried it before or who only knows the name, how would you describe it?
There are so many ways to describe it, and I guess in many ways I would have a conversation with the person in front of me and work with what they are interested in understanding. So to speak very generally might not satisfy anyone, but I'll give it a go anyway. I would say that meditation is firstly a time where you disengage from the world around you and come and sit in a still position so that you're not doing anything. and begin to visit what's inside you. We spend a lot of our day engaging with the outside world, and a lot of the time these days we just react without considering our actions, let's say. And, you know, you can see an increase of road rage and anxiety and all sorts of ills that relate to just reacting to what's going on. And so meditation is a time to just sit quietly and focus upon something in order to become aware of what's going on inside you. And that's the essence of it, really.
Okay. Who benefits from meditation? I know you're probably going to say everybody, but...
Everybody.
Yeah. What is the purpose, I suppose, the benefit? What are you trying to get out of it? If you maybe only have 1 minute or 5 minutes or something like that, what's the benefit there that you get?
Well, there are, of course, many benefits, and scientific studies are now starting to list the benefits. But on all the different levels that we are a human being, there are benefits. So physically and physiologically, you may find that your blood pressure becomes a little bit more balanced, that any stress reactions in your body start to relax. So the heart might function a little bit better. All sorts of physiological things will go on. On a mental level, you might find that you gain a little bit of clarity, because a lot of the time our minds are just running like crazy. Yeah. They call it the monkey mind, or, you know, mind chatter. And so a chance to disengage from the mind chatter and just come back so that you can hear what you really think about a decision that you have to make or something that's just happened. So clarity, coolness of mind, on an emotional level, all sorts of balances and calming down of emotions. So anger might be able to subside, and all sorts of maybe feeling hopeless might become a little bit less. And spiritually as well, there are obviously benefits if you are of that mind.
Okay.
So really, it's quite an extraordinary practice, and it is a practice, and I would say I still practice meditation, even though I teach it as well. But it's like anything, you know, you're constantly refining and learning and growing through it.
Okay. Where do you do it? Because I would think you need a lack of distractions, don't you? I know some people would, you know, cross their legs and, you know, put their fingers in that traditional position and close their eyes or sit under a pyramid or something. But, you know, how do you actually make sure that those distractions are not there?
Well, you would require a little bit of planning, although I do think that you could, even at work, if you had a set of headphones and a pair of eyelids, you would be able to find some quietness by just popping in the headphones and closing your eyes. But obviously, you'd want to tell people around you that you're going to meditate, or go somewhere where there aren't people going to walk across your line of vision and say, oh, can you just tell me this answer? Or so you would find a place that's quiet. You would probably make sure that your phone is switched to silent mode. You would find a comfortable place to sit. Now, you talked about posture before. I don't think posture is important, but I would say that, especially if you're beginning, I wouldn't lie down, because you're just going to trigger that response to fall asleep. But you also don't need to sit in, you know, that classic lotus position that you were starting to describe. But I have found personally that if I sit too slumped in a chair, I'm more likely to fall asleep. And so I try and have a sense of a straight back without any discomfort or force with that. Okay. I find that helps.
Earlier on the program, we were talking about transcendental meditation. What other types are there? How many different types of meditation are there?
Oh, there's quite a few different types of meditation. Transcendental meditation is one that focuses on a mantra, which is just a word that you repeat. I mean, we were talking about meditation asking you to concentrate, and so a mantra or a word repeated helps your mind to focus in. There's the Buddhist techniques that are becoming quite popular now, which focus around mindfulness, where you just become very aware of the present. So a lot of the time our thoughts travel either direction, into the past or into the future, worrying about what we just said or worrying about what's going to happen if. And so to try and bring yourself back into the here and now. Excuse me, I'm just going to cough.
Please do. My guest is Carmen Warrington, and we're talking about meditation this morning, something I've got to say I don't know a lot about and I've never really practiced, but Carmen is someone obviously that does, and there's a range of CDs that Carmen has put out that will help you if you would like to be more involved with meditation. They are on ABC Music, we should point out as well, Carmen, and you will find them in your ABC shop. Mm. You're telling us about the various types of meditation.
Yes. So the Buddhists practice mindfulness meditation. Some people, as I said, use these sort of guided visualization techniques. Another way of being mindful is just to watch the breath coming and going and observing where your thoughts and feelings are going and just stepping back. They call it this stage of being the witness of yourself, where you don't react or engage or judge, but just go, okay, there you are. That's what's going on inside.
It helps, I suppose, if you are starting to maybe listen to what you're saying on your CDs, but is it better or to have music playing? Is it better to sit there in silence? Because I suppose if sitting there in silence, and depending on where you live, if you live out in the country, you're fantastic. You've got the quiet, you've just got the sounds of nature and the breeze and the trees or the birds or whatever. Mm. If you're in the city, well, you might get traffic, you might get sirens, you might get all that sort of thing. Is it better to have some sort of music or some sort of sound to guide you along, or is it something that perhaps you can do without?
I would say that depends on the individual, but certainly when you're beginning, I would be using every known aid to just get you familiar with what meditation actually feels like and what it is. And so, yeah, music, but it depends on the music, you know. Some music that I've heard supposedly for meditation actually drives me bonkers because it's a little bit too repetitive or uses too many artificial instruments. And being also a musician, you know, that can be a little bit grating on the nervous system when you want to hear real instruments. But it depends. You know, there's lots of wonderful music out there. Some people use a song that has beautiful lyrics that mean something to them, that encourages them to just come within their own self. And whatever works, really.
All right. My guest, as I mentioned, Carmen Warrington. Carmen being the appropriate name for someone involved with meditation, I would think. there to calm people down. Carmen, you also you relate meditation to sport. I couldn't imagine. Maybe exercise. Maybe it's exercise for the mind as opposed to exercise for the body. But in what way is it like sport?
Well, exactly that. You know that it's good for you. And sometimes it's hard to, at the end of the day, to make yourself go off to your sporting practice. But once you get there, you commit to the game, to the fun of it. It's enjoyable. It relaxes you. It teaches you about life. There are so many parallels to me. And also in the type of sport, like you could say sport's good for you or exercise. But what exercise do you like to do? You know, do you like to swim? Do you like to chase a ball around a field with a group of people? So there's many ways of doing sport. There's as many ways of doing meditation. And some of the results of playing a sport are similar to some of the results you gain from meditation, but on a more subtle energy level, I guess.
Also, you do point out, though, that anyone who has a mental health issue might want to consider talking to their doctor. Why is that?
Well, certain mental health conditions are maybe exacerbated by meditation. And so it's always advisable if you are someone who has such a condition to just talk to your health professional first and perhaps see if there's a particular meditation that is going to be of benefit to you, because it can exacerbate your condition. So it's just good to be aware of that.
In what way would it exacerbate a condition?
You might You might start to experience yourself as being, you know, a pharaoh and someone really delusions of grandeur or something like that. You know, I'm not really an expert on mental conditions, but I do know that it's very, very important to check with your health professional first.
Okay, what is the health professional world's view of meditation?
Well, I find these days that most doctors would recommend meditation. I have to laugh because my mum is not a meditator at all, and she feels very naughty having a daughter who puts out meditation CDs and she doesn't like to meditate. But even the other day she went to her doctor and her doctor said, you know, you should meditate for your blood pressure. I think most people are aware now that there are benefits to gain from it.
Have you managed to convince her?
Not yet. I hope she's listening. Naughty mummy.
Really? How often should you meditate?
If you're serious about it, it should become a daily practice.
Right.
But that may take a while to include into your life.
Find the time?
Yeah, just to make a commitment to do it, because it's very easy to say, oh, I'll do it in a minute, or I'll do it after this, or when the kids have gone to bed, or I'll get up a little bit earlier. But, you know, those resolutions can fall by the wayside, even though you are experiencing benefits. Okay. So it does take a little commitment, you do feel so much better when you meditate.
Okay, let's start with some calls. Neil is first. Neil, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was in a psychiatric ward in 1992, and part of the program in there, I was in there for 9 weeks, and part of the program was you try all the different tapes, and I found one that was just called Jane, and it started
called
off...
Called Jane, did you say?
Just Jane, a lady, a woman called Jane.
Right, yes.
And she was speaking me through it, and she was telling me to be aware of the sounds around me, and then just let them go.
Yeah.
And she was telling me how to breathe, and then she went through every part of my body, start the left hand side of my body, my left finger, to me through every finger and the palm of my hand, the back of my hand, up my arm, down the side of my body, you know, to my thighs, to my toes. And I had that sensation of feeling every part of that, everything she told me was just going numb.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the left hand side of my body was just all numb. And I could feel the anxiety and the tension in the right-hand side of my body. Nice. Now, I got the end of the tape when I just felt I was floating on air. And it was an unreal experience. And I've been trying to find that tape ever since, and it's been so frustrating that I just can't find it anywhere. I rang the hospital, and they haven't got a copy anymore. And I was just wondering, you know, I'm still emotional about it now.
Okay, I can hear that in your voice.
The influence it had on me. I thought, God, this is amazing. I've never, because I have very high anxiety. And
The good thing about that, of course, Neil, is that it was within you that was able to do that. It wasn't necessarily the sound on the tape, but it was within your body or within your mind. Carmen might want to comment on that, Carmen.
I think perhaps what you're describing is what they call yoga nidra, which often yoga teachers take you through at the end of a yoga session. And I have heard of people who have recorded those sessions. So
I'm not sure if Jane? You know someone... Do you know too much about Jane, who may have been doing meditation tapes in the early 80s?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think if you go to a yoga teaching place, like a yoga centre, they might be able to point you in the right direction with that, Neil.
Yes.
Okay. But just before Neil goes, Carmen, it's a familiar technique, though, isn't it, to work your way through your entire body all the way down and get... I know you've used it on your own CDs, but it's not specific just to Jane, but many people use that exact same thing, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
In the psychiatric ward, that was very important. It was late at night, no one else, everyone else was in bed, and I snuck in the room and just practiced it.
Well, but Neil, it's within you. You can do it. It wasn't necessarily the tape that did it. It was you. So
yeah, just feeling the experience. Yeah, that means I can go there again sometime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Neil, thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Fascinating call there. Rosie, good morning, Rosie.
Good morning there, and thank you for taking this call. It's very interesting. My own, I don't know whether there's a name for it or anything. It's when I get frustrated or the grandkids annoy me or just general things that just get me all head up and that, I'll just go off in a, just quietly, not saying anything to anybody, even if it's only off to the loo, and just sit there and just close off everything, just go off completely into me, so just let everything else go by, just sit there, maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, all depends on what I feel like. And when I feel calm and feel as though that, okay, that's all gone, I'll let all that go, I'm up. But there's an odd time that I've gone off to sleep, with I've been sitting in a chair somewhere, or don't know where I'm sitting, in the couch or wherever, and sometimes I sort of go off, really off, and then I wake up and I thought, well, what the, I've had a funny sort of a dream, and it's so vivid, but it's only, I look at the clock and it's only been for about 5 minutes. And I mean, I didn't think you'd dream in that short time, but that dream has been so vivid and so calming, or it's usually not terrifying dreams, it's just quite calming sort of dreams and things, but just the whole body, I've been able to let it go completely and just coming out the other side feeling, I don't know, I mean, whether there's a name for it or anything, it's just, this is just me, what I've adapted through the years.
Carmen?
That's wonderful, Rosie. You are a natural meditator.
But it just does something for me. I mean, I've got quite a stressful sort of a life, but I've been able to just let every. Well, I've been told I can sleep on a barbed wire fence because I can sit on a kitchen chair for hours on end without even really going to sleep. Yeah. Sit there and not even move off the chair. But it's just, I can sort of let the body go,
okay.
So that I don't have. It doesn't matter how frustrating things are.
Okay, well,
that is meditation, Rosie. That's wonderful, to disengage from the things around you that are causing you stress and just come back to yourself, which really the essence of all of us is that we are calm and that we have an interest to be peaceful and that we naturally have access to being happy. Those are the things that are innate to every human being. And if we don't keep revisiting that, then we don't experience that. And so you've got that natural ability to revisit the real Rosie.
Well, I feel real privileged for that. Thank you for that.
No worries.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I've been known to sit for hours in a chair in front of the TV. Mike, good morning, generally, if there's sport on. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. Om Shanti.
Oh, yes. Om Shanti. Okay. Good morning.
It's Michael Carmen. I'm just driving from my home in Hazelbrook down to have meditation at Wollongong Centre.
Okay. Good morning.
Friend of yours, Carmen?
I know this chap, yes.
Okay.
I was just wondering, Carmen, how you would like to perhaps share with the audience how meditation as a Brahma Kumari or a Kumar would relate to the Supreme Soul.
All right. I'll just say, Mike, thanks for that. We're just not the world's best line there, but I'll let Carmen comment on that, because I suppose what Mike is talking about is where meditation goes just beyond meditation and becomes part of a greater religion, perhaps.
Yes.
Or belief.
I think, excuse me, I'm going to cough again.
That's okay. Carmen Warrington is our guest with Rod Quinn. Carmen.
The aspect that I mentioned before about spirituality as being one of the ways in which meditation helps us, I guess, is that often people say that if you pray, you're talking to God, and if you meditate, you're listening to God. So if you are of a spiritual inclination and you want to feel a sense of closeness to God or a higher power, which many people in this world do without necessarily even belonging to any particular religion, then meditation can be used also in that way to still your mind, lift yourself up to feeling very lovely in your own self, and then being able to feel that you can connect with a higher power as well. Okay. But also I wanted to talk about something else which is very pertinent this morning in relation to the earthquake in New Zealand. Often at such times, those who aren't affected by calamities, we are very much engaged with it on a thought level and a feeling level, and we perhaps first worry about, oh, I hope everyone's okay, and a kind of a spiritual aspect of meditation is that instead of worrying, the Buddhists might call it being compassionate, that you actually send your thought energy, but in a very loving, compassionate and calming form to help those who are suffering or in difficulty to cope better with the situation. So that's another aspect of meditation as a spiritual practice.
Okay.
To send that loving, good wishes and helpful thought energy rather than worrying about it.
All right. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Meditation. Now, I went through a really rough time with my divorce, and I ended up in a psychiatric ward. And as I was getting better through the place, I was introduced to ARAFME, which is part of Breakaway Group for Mental Health. And there they introduced me to yoga. And they said, oh, why don't you come along and have a go? Anyway, I had a go at it, and I really liked it. And then we got into the meditation side of it. And the first time I did it, I went, wow, this is good. I'm feeling better just having a 15-minute meditation session. Well, I kept on doing it and kept on doing it, and I really liked it. But I found myself, like you were saying, drifting away. You know, you were saying about the thing, how you vision your grandeur. I found myself drifting to that, and I was really enjoying that. But instead of like in meditation where you clear your mind, I was actually staying in those places. I was really enjoying that. Now, is that not a wise thing to do? And if it's not, how do you prevent yourself from doing that? Because I find myself, even now, and I have to sometimes just go, well, I'll clear my mind again. Is it wise to clear your mind, or is it better off staying in that position?
Well, I'd say that, again, you're breaking up a little bit there, but Carmen, please comment on what Paul had to say.
I'm not 100% clear on what he's describing, but...
Well, I mean, you were talking earlier before that maybe if you do have mental health issues, then be careful and just be aware of that and perhaps don't allow delusions of grandeur to take over, but obviously it helped Paul.
Yeah, but... I'm not sure the state that he's describing of drifting off to, but it's always good to come back if you're drifting off into a feeling of other dimensions, because we are human beings and we live in this world. And although it's good to experience being taken away from one's worries, you don't want it to be too far out, and because you're just not sure what's going to happen.
Okay.
And I'm not, until I speak to Paul more clearly, I can't really understand what he's talking about.
Well, we've got a lot of callers and we want to get to all of them. Margaret is next. Hello, Margaret.
Hello, Rod. Hello, Carmen.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for talking about meditation in such an accessible way.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share something rather than ask a question,
sure.
If that's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
With my first pregnancy, I was teaching external classes, like the high school certificate, and I taught children for many years, so I felt a greater responsibility towards them than my baby, you know, like I was hardly conscious of being pregnant. And then I gave up teaching, and then I suddenly had to prepare to be a mother in 4 weeks, and a bushfire threatened the house just as she was due, so I went into labour, having had no sleep for days, and it was a disaster. I couldn't push, and there was morphine and 32 hours of labour and a lot of other things I won't go into. But so with the second baby, I was determined that that wasn't going to happen again. And I read a book called Relief Without Drugs by Ainsley Mears.
Yes, I remember that.
And it was a long time ago, and... I was so committed to avoid the first experience, although, you know, every experience is helpful in lots and lots of ways, and my first daughter is just so wonderful. But with the second pregnancy, I made sure that I meditated for 5 to 20 minutes every day, and I found it was like practicing the piano or playing tennis. The real effects happened after I started to do it for, say, a month, and then... I did it right throughout the pregnancy, being very, very calm. Like I might meditate under the shower, or I might just sit with a little one, and because they're only 18 months apart, and just sort of totally relax and really follow, first of all, this whole idea of coming up through the body and making it relax, but doing a lot of the things you're talking about. And it just meant that towards the end of pregnancy, when it was very difficult to sleep, I could put myself to sleep instantly through meditation, and the birth was just so wonderful. It was difficult, like all births, I suppose, but I felt empowered and calm and in control of everything, and literally after she was born, they were very busy in the hospital and they sort of left me alone because there were babies coming everywhere. And I just sat there with my second baby and sang. And I don't think that's the experience.
Okay.
That,
all
you know, it was
right.
just, it's just, it, but just the fact that I practiced every day, like practicing the piano, that seemed to make it easier.
Maybe it was also the fact that you took time for yourself every day just to not do anything. That obviously had a big help as well. Margaret, thanks for that comment. I want to move to Zoe as well, who also used meditation during childbirth, and then I can get Carmen Warrington to comment on that. Zoe, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I had a similar experience to your previous caller, except it was for my first pregnancy, and I now have a, well, she's just over one, and we did a calm birth course, and it was, which is sounds like an oxymoron, but it really did sort of relate to meditation, and I listened to this tape every day. I was a commuter to the from the Central Coast to Sydney for work every day, and I just listened to this CD. And I have to say, I was an absolute non-believer. I'm not a person who... I've done yoga and Pilates kind of practices in the past, and they sometimes have meditations at the end of them. However, I really wasn't a believer, and I would I do urge any pregnant woman I meet now, I say, please just, like, you know, try and do this course or similar or do some kind of meditation, because I was really great during labor, even if I do say so myself. I mean, I, you know, it was painful, absolutely, but I didn't use any drugs, and it was, you know, felt really good in some kind of odd way.
Yeah.
And it was, and I was calm, and I remember a second midwife coming in towards the end of my labor saying to me, or saying kind of to the room, oh, look at her, she looks so blissed out. And I wasn't, like, in one sense, you know, I was in a lot of pain, but I was in that, I had my little focus of going somewhere else in my mind, and, you know, I was in this isolated place in my mind's eye, instead of being in a hospital giving birth, and it was, yeah, it was really, really good and really, really worthwhile. And again, I also used it to help myself sleep, when it is so difficult to sleep when you're big and fat and pregnant. And I had these visualizations of, like, you know, imagining my baby on my tummy and things like that, which sound, I think, to people who don't do meditation, probably quite out there. But it really worked for me. And all during the labor, I just kept thinking of this baby coming out and being able to hold it. And it was amazing.
Sorry, that's beautiful.
Amazing.
That is fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing it with us and giving it. I'm sure there are many women who are pregnant or perhaps have had their children who are listening now who will take some inspiration from that. So thank you so much for that, Zoe.
Oh, thank you. No, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. Carmen, obviously a recurring theme there is that it's important for many women in pregnancy.
I think those are such beautiful stories. I thank Zoe and Margaret for sharing those. But I think even the traditional way of preparing for childbirth, I have to tell you, I'm not a mother myself, so I'm not speaking from experience here, but even the whole focus on breathing is a form of meditation, you know. But if, obviously, at the time of giving birth, if you haven't practiced it in advance, it can be a little tricky to disengage from what's going on and just focus on your breathing. So wonderful that you can practice beforehand.
Okay, just three more people we need to talk to. Peter, Oki, I think, is next. G'day. Good morning. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good morning.
Oh, sorry. I had the experience with Ainsley Mears many years ago.
Right.
I was very, very ill. And really, this call is to help that caller previously that was in hospital learning to do meditation, because you actually learn to meditate from... He teaches from the toes right up to the mind,
yes.
Learning to relax the mind, and you actually get into a state where you feel like you're leaving your body, you're floating, and it's a wonderful feeling when you reach that. And he teaches teaches you to do that twice a day for about 15 to 20 minutes. Okay. And I found that eventually I was able to do it so well that I could go along to a dentist. I've had all my dental work done, 3 crowns without injections.
Oh, my goodness.
You're the champion.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Okay, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it very much. Angela Mee has been mentioned a couple of times this morning, obviously a pioneer there. Just 2 more calls to go. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Yeah, you want to talk about your experience as well?
I've got a little bit of brain cancer, and with that, you're on all sorts of drugs and whatever, and one of the drugs is known to cause insomnia and that sort of thing. So that's one of the problems with that. But I was recommended a bit of a meditation tape. So what I've found with that, and it seems to be we're talking about being able to stay awake too, is one of the issues with it. But what I actually do is I just put it on and while I'm in bed and go to sleep with it. And what I find is that I wake up in a better place. Not only do I wake up in a better place, but it's easier for me to go to sleep. And I'm just wondering if that you can absorb that sort of stuff even in the sleep state, because I do tend to miss it if I'm not at home and I haven't got it there.
Yeah.
You know, I do miss it, but it actually... Well, for me, it's beneficial anyway, but I don't play it during the day or while I'm, you know, in a...
Okay, I'll get Carmen to comment on that then. Thanks so much for that, Peter. Carmen?
Hello, Peter. Thank you for your call. Yes, I definitely think you can absorb the benefit whilst you're asleep. Obviously, in certain aims of meditation, you want to be awake so that you're practicing, so that even during the day when stressful things are occurring to you, that you can slip into that meditative zone and not overreact and that sort of thing. But in your case in particular, I would say when you're battling cancer that, you know, if that helps you in any way, then of course it's going to be beneficial whether you're asleep or awake. I remember once we also do meditation using sound. We call it a sound bath, and we use singing bowls. And I took a couple once for a sound bath, and as soon as the gentleman sat down for a sound bath, he started snoring very, very loudly, continued throughout the entire sound bath. And as soon as I said, okay, the sound bath is coming to a close now, and we came back, he sat up, bolt upright, said, "That is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard." And his wife said, "You were asleep the whole time. What are you talking about?" He said, "I heard every sound." And I know that the level of hearing, even while we're asleep, is quite profound. So definitely benefits can be taken.
Okay. Unfortunately, could not get to all of our callers. I had a full board there that we couldn't get to, and I'm sorry about that, especially to Roger. One text just before we go: can meditation help with depression? We should point out this is not a medical cure for problems, whether it be cancer or depression or anything like that. It is a way of dealing with it, I suppose. Is that a good way of putting it, Carmen?
That is a very good way of putting it. Rod, I thought you said you weren't into meditation.
No, it's not that I'm not into it. I just have never done it.
Oh, you're very wise about it.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, Carmen. But, I mean, for people who may say that it cures cancer or, you know, I mean, I think it's fair to say it's wrong to say that. It is a way of dealing with your problem.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And in regards to depression, again, I would first of all check with your doctor or
your medical
advice, but definitely meditation can lift one out of certain states of depression, but be very cautious with it and check first.
Okay. Carmen Warrington has been our guest this morning, and I'm glad that so many people have obviously got stories they wanted to tell or have you know, got something out of what Carmen had to say. And Carmen, your CDs should be available in the ABC shop. Take 5 is a good one. 5-minute meditations for busy people, and also for people perhaps who have trouble sleeping. It's a good thing. That is definitely good to try and sleep without drugs. And you've got a CD that deals with that, as well as a couple of others. So Carmen, thank you very, very much, and I wish you the very best.
Thank you so much, and thank you to all the callers as well for sharing their stories.
Thank you. Carmen Warrington has been our meditation expert this morning.